Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired Profiles rap metal band Circle Down and their forthcoming CD, Mobius. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host Brian Lush, and the music is out there. The band Circle Down was an idea that got hatched at a Henry Rollins concert back in 1997, of all places. Over the years, the band has changed lineups, but the goal of issuing kick-ass, skull-crushing metal with a few electronic loops is what has kept the band going over the years. The band is on the verge of releasing their CD, Mobius, and the results are amazing. I had a chance to speak with Diode and Canch of Circle Down, and you can hear what they've got to say about all this in just a few minutes. From the CD Mobius, here is Circle Down with Half Step.
Are
From the CD Mobius that was Circle Down with Half Step. Visit the band at their official website, www.circledown.com. I had a chance to speak with Diode and Kanch of Circle Down over the phone regarding their forthcoming release and the formation of the band. Here's how it went.
Well, you guys, Mobius is a great CD, and now that it's out there for people to hear and all the work that has gone into it is behind you, how do you guys feel about the end result?
Basically, Mobius is a culmination of a lot of what we've done over the past few years. We've had different members in the band and whatnot, and the songs have evolved and changed, but ultimately I think we're at a spot where we're all pretty... You know, we're content with the music, we're happy with what we're doing, we all add our own little flavor to it, and the end result is basically what you hear on the EP, which is more or less a taste of what the full album is going to sound like.
And how about you, Kanch?
Well, I mean, Dye's pretty much, you know, he pretty much cornered it, man. I mean, because we did go through so many different people, it's very difficult, I think, to really corner us into one certain sound. I mean, for the most part, I came from, you know, pretty much everything, you know, the top three, Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth, and then later on, Suicidal Tendencies and Faith No More, and that was pretty much the core of what I was doing. Dye, on the other hand, comes in, and although he was always listening, you know, he was listening to heavy stuff too, you know, he's the only one that I was, you know, willingly hanging out with that was, like, you know, down with, like, Jamiroquai, and, you know, I guess, you know, Matchbox 20, Paul Oakenfold, stuff like that. So what winds up happening there is we were able to actually, I don't want to say, you know, throw a bunch of stuff together and then see what happens. I think what wound up happening is we were taking different influences, like Dio was just saying, and being able to successfully put them together, because now we got Revis, we got Eric coming in with he's not a straight 4/4 time drummer. You know, the dude really knows what he's doing. He's able to change times up. And I think if you listen to Crash, I mean, you can hear it. That is not a straight rock beat through the whole thing. There's no way. And then you got Dean coming in, and Dean is legitimately good rock guitarist. Who he and I kind of clash a little bit, because because I'm so much into a groove, or clash maybe isn't the right word. He and I are he's very, very power chord, very, very punchy, dead in the face with his guitar riffs. Where I, on the other hand, am more trying to get into not so much a melodic, but get a really good groove behind it. And with the four of us, it took a little while, but we were actually able to come up and make it work and really, really piece it together. So what you hear on that album, that's a culmination of thousands of hours of sitting down and actually playing and discarding what we didn't need, changing things, making sure the key signature was correct, making sure the timing was correct. So all in all, I hope that 5-minute rant answered your question, man.
Oh, it did. And with this current lineup, I mean, what are your predictions for this one, having been through so many lineup changes already?
Success.
Awesome.
And the reason for that, there's a couple reasons for that. And for one, is everybody's professional. And I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with this, and I'm not telling people what to do, but one thing that I've loved about Circle Down, with this lineup especially, is there's no drugs involved. And I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do, but when I say professionalism, I mean that nobody shows up wasted, nobody plays the gig wasted. When we do practice, we don't practice songs like, okay, hey, you know, we're going to run through this for two times, and then, you know, and then we take it out or whatever. The only way I could put it is we train the song, we break it down, and we'll play 8 measures literally 10 times. We'll just hammer that out, and then we'll continue with the song. So for us to actually work on a song takes a little bit, and then you're talking about once we get out there and we play, and just everything is good to where everybody shows up, everybody knows they got a job to do and exactly what they're supposed to do. Then getting up on stage, it's not that everything is scripted, But what it is just that everybody has trained for this for so long. It's just there is no way for failure. You can't fail. It doesn't exist. So take that and you put it towards everything else that we're doing with this. There is no way we can lose. I mean, obviously we'll have setbacks and so forth. But for us, this, I say this ends when we say it ends.
And talk about how music began for each of you. How did that start?
Well, why don't you take this one first? I'm going to grab a sip of my coffee here.
Okay, no problem. let me think here. Basically, I was fortunate enough growing up to where I was exposed to a wide range of music. And funny enough, where Kench grew up with Megadeth and Slayer and Metallica, I didn't listen to anything that had anything to do with any type of metal, glam metal, or anything like that, because I didn't like, and again, I was a kid, but I wasn't down with that whole scene, dudes looking like chicks, and it looked ridiculous to me, so I never gave the time to listen to the music. Now, looking back and hearing some of the music, yes, I can appreciate what it was, but I was exposed to such a wide range of music, from the pop at the time to R&B to jazz to hip-hop. I mean, there were just so many things. So the way I came into it, especially just listening to anything that was remotely rock-related, was when Nirvana finally came out. When I heard Nirvana and I saw what they were doing, I kind of turned my ear toward it. And then I stumbled upon the bands like Korn, Deftones, Incubus, stuff like that. And then that's when it really... You know, I heard it, and I was like, that's what I've been finally looking for as far as music goes. Because I wasn't a fan of one particular band or any particular genre at that point until I had heard them. And then that's where Kanch and I met when we were working together, and we found a common interest in liking the band Korn, and, you know, that's how our friendship had started. So, I mean, to say that I just listened to one particular type of sound or style is... I can't, and I could probably sit here for like a half hour, 45 minutes explaining all the different music styles, but from what I do and what I add to the music, it definitely, you know, my exposure to all that kind of music definitely has an influence on what we're doing today, and I think that kind of gives us a little bit of that pop, a little bit more of that mainstream sound, where I'm always looking for that catchy hook, where I'm always looking for the catchy melody, and I'm always trying to structure the songs in a way that would be palatable to a larger audience, but we all like it at the same time, because if we don't love our music, then how do we expect anybody else to love our music? So, you know, that's how I look at it.
How about you, Kanch?
See, a little bit different for me, because what happened was when I was growing up, I pretty much hung out with people who were older than me, you know, 5-6 years older. And back then, I mean, that's when I actually got introduced to Master of Puppets when I was 10 years old, and I didn't know how to take it. And then the first time I heard it, I was like, and 10 years old, what do I know? I didn't like it. And actually a week later, my cousin brought it down to where I was living at the time, and she put it on, and I wound up listening to it. And here I am, in sixth grade, listening to Master of Puppets, really, really digging on it. So between that, what had happened was, I mean, I was a straight-out metal kid, you know, hair down the middle of my back, you know, really skinny, but, you know, always wore black. And all through high school, we're just consistently listening to, you know, the heavier the better. You know, the heavier the better. I mean, it didn't stop at Metallica and Slayer. Then it, you know, turned into, you know, Sepultura. Even so far as going into a Buhera, Deicide, Obituary. I had a friend who was, you know, he was really big into stuff like that, Morbid Angel. And then he introduces me to Danzig. And what had wound up happening is I wound up playing guitar for like 6 months at this guy's house. And I get a phone call one day saying, well, you know, we need a bass player for this band. And at the time, I don't even own an instrument. And I went out, I bought this Sears K bass for like $80 off this guy who I was in school with. And I showed up never having played in my life. And in the sense, it was ridiculous, because I did everything I could to emulate, at the time, you know, Jason Newsted. And I mean, I knew who Cliff Burton was too, but I didn't understand exactly what it was they were doing. And needless to say, I wasn't asked to come back, because, I mean, literally, I have the bass a week. But from then on is when I really started really hammering on that, but the influence was still, for the most part, really heavy. You know, this now we're talking, you know, Pantera, Cowboys from Hell, Vulgar Display of Power had just come out, and I still have no knowledge whatsoever of all these other things that are out there, and that really didn't change until I decided to take bass lessons when I was, in my late teens. And one of the first things my teacher was telling me was, is, you know, I'm pretty much limiting myself, and he had forced me to start listening to, like, the Police, Van Morrison, and all these other things, just so I could start understanding different concepts. So the music really didn't expand for me until I got very heavy into theory, and at that point, that's where I was able to start really picking up all these other things and start listening to them. So for, I mean, if you were to check my iPod right now, I mean, there's still a lot of heavy things in there, but, I mean, I do have Van Morrison. I am now really big into, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Victor Wooten, by far, is the most ridiculous. The man's not human. I'm convinced that he was not born on this planet, because there's no way you can be human and think and play the way that he does. And that type of influence is something that I would aspire to do, but do it within the realm of Circle Down. Because what really got me playing the way that I played is I played with a pick for a long time. And I was really big into Suicidal and Faith No More, but I'd never actually seen how it was done. And about 16 years ago, Suicidal toured with Danzig and Metallica. And to me, there was no greater tour ever. And when we got there, Suicidal opened up, and at the time, Rock Chihio, who's now with Metallica, was playing with Suicidal tendencies, and I'm watching him do this stuff, and I had no idea that's how he played. And not only did it sound cool, it just looked awesome. I mean, his stage presence was ridiculous. And then for him to be able to play with Mike Clark and Rocky George, like, playing these ridiculously fast riffs, and he's doing this slapping and popping, that's where it was, okay, this is... That is really the style that I wanted to look for. And then even if you take that style and you start putting it into other music, it still works. It still works with R&B, and I mean, jazz doesn't, slap doesn't work with jazz, but you start expanding upon things like that as opposed to just hitting an open heat and just chugging along. And you can do so much more with it then.
Visit the band at their official website, www.circledown.com. From their forthcoming CD, Mobius, here is Circle Down once again with Ashes Falling.
Yeah.
talk about how, you know, how this project evolved. How did it begin, Circle Down?
At a Henry Rollins show.
No,
no bullshit.
I believe you.
We, at the time that we went to see this Rollins concert, what was it, 97, Kev?
Yeah.
It was 97. We went to the Electric Factory in Philly, and I had only been to a couple concerts. You know, we were still kids then. But we go to the Electric Factory, we go and go see Henry Rollins. And Catch and I went up there together with a couple other people. And Rollins took the stage, we watched the show, and I was absolutely floored by this man's stage presence and what he was doing. And granted, no, he doesn't sing or anything like that, but it was just the overall performance and the command that he had on stage. I wanted that. It like hit me like a ton of bricks that after the show I went up to Canch when we were walking out to the car. I'm like, we need to start a band. And he goes, he looks at me, he's like, okay. And he goes, what are you going to be up thing? And now, granted, at the time, I never had any type of musical training at all. No vocals, not even an instrument. But I knew I wanted to do this. So, basically, from then on, it was kind of like, the only way I can really explain how Circle Down was is, you meet this chick in high school, you hook up with her, you go to college, you don't see her for a while, then you see her in a bar, and then you hook up with her again, and then, like, some years down the road, you run into her at, like, a restaurant, you hook up, and then you get married. That's kind of like what Circle Down was up until, you know, like, 2007. So, it was on and off for a long time, but during that time, I was hearing things in my head that I could not get out through my mouth, or I couldn't translate what I was trying to get across to the other guys, you know, especially Canch, as far as, like, where I wanted a particular song to go and things like that. So I sought out piano lessons and vocal lessons. So I started learning music theory, and I started taking, you know, the vocal classes. So from there, you know, that was around the same time Canch was getting his bass lessons, and we, you know, it just started growing from that point. And then it was around 2007, we were like, all right, we're going to be serious with it. Let's do it. We're making some pretty good music. Let's see how far we can push it.
Yeah, what was happening, actually, Brian, was that for a couple of years there, I was bouncing around the country. I played in another band in Florida for a little while. Spent a little bit of time out in California. Guys calling me up, you know, not consistently, but, you know, we were still in touch. And it was like, hey, listen, you got to come back to, you know, you got to come back to AC. We have to do this. And I kept telling them, listen, I said, you know, don't wait for me, man. Like, I don't know when I'm coming back. And when I finally did come back to Jersey, you know, I come back and not only is there a lineup waiting, but, you know, there's new songs for me to learn. It was really surreal. I was back in town for literally, shit, man, probably like 3 days. I just moved across the country, had everything with me. I hadn't even settled in yet. I was already sitting at band practice again with a drummer whose name I honestly can't remember, and a guitarist. He was very on and off with us for a while. He wanted to play, but he had other obligations that he simply just had to attend to, and that went on for I don't know a couple of months there. And then we started going through more drummers and started going through more guitarists there. So, how did this question start off again? Because I'm sitting here ranting again.
Oh no, I was just asking how the band got started, but. Don't worry about it. You answered it. You answered it.
At a Henry Rollins show.
Yeah.
and you have to understand, man. I mean, like, we're sitting in the, at this point, I had already been in a couple of bands, and I'd already done studio work, and this is, you know, guy, you know, and I are friends, but, you know, he comes up to me and says, well, we got to start this band now, and I'm looking at him, saying, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you don't, like, well, I'm supposed, like, what are you going to do? Play drums, you're gonna play guitar, and like I gotta sit and wait, like I don't understand. And unless I'm mistaken, I think his original idea was to start drums. But then I got in with these other guys, one of the earlier culminations of Circle Down, and I said, well, you know, hey, I got a singer. So, and he showed up, and we gave him the microphone, and it was terrible. We have this recorded to where nobody will ever hear it, but it's a nice reminder of how terrible we once were, and it's like, look, at least we're not this anymore.
That tape is securely locked away from any prying human eyes. I have not pulled that tape out. It is known as the white tape, and the white tape is, it's hidden on planet Earth somewhere, and nobody will ever find it.
It was actually the song, the first song we got up to sing was a cover by Ministry called Thieves, and to this day, when we play it, Di won't sing it, I have to sing it, because he fucked it up so, I mean, like, it's Al Jorgensen screaming into the microphone. And it's hysterical because, I mean, I don't know if you know the song or not, but it's not, there's not a whole lot of melody going on with it.
Well, it's a Ministry song. I mean, come on. Yeah.
So if anybody, you know, you come out to the Circle Down show, I mean, we'll hit a couple of covers here and there because, I mean, like the last show we did Killing in the Name of, but we did it in a completely different tuning to what, you know, what Rage Against the Machine does. We, you know, we used to, as a goof, we used to do, you know, a House of Pain song. We did Jump Around. And we even used to do Insane Clown Posse Chicken Hunt, which, you know, has gone by, you know, has been shelved. But, you know, they're all in these different, you know, they're all in different tunings, and we did it for us. But the Ministry song is the one song that, like, I cannot get this bastard to sing while I play bass, man. Like, I gotta do it consistently. And it's fun, but...
If you see me grab the bass while we're playing live and I get the bass, you know we're doing Ministry. I play the bass song, it's four notes, it's easy, and it's a lot of fun.
And talk about how songwriting gets done within this band. How do you guys go about it?
I don't really think there's a particular formula to it. I mean, for the most part, it's you know, Dean writes something, or Eric and I, you know, we'll sink into something else. The only time for me, I know, the only time that the only two songs that I had anything really to do with on structure was Crash and Blindfold. Blindfold was a riff I had written probably 10 years ago, and it was different tuning, and just a whole different way about it. I mean, the way what you hear now is kind of, it's similar, but it's not exactly where what I had started off with. That came later with you know, Di's influence, and, you know, Dean's influence, and, you know, of course, Eric, you know, Reed is our drummer. And Crash, on the other hand, Crash, I had a pretty good idea of how I wanted to do this rhythm. I mean, if you really sit down and listen to it, I mean, the bass is, I mean, the bass and the guitars are not doing the same thing pretty much ever, but it's still consistently in the same key. And I was thinking about it, and when I was doing the song, you know, I said to Dean, I'd like you to try this, and, you know, he did it my way a couple of times, you know, which was probably for like a month, and then we hadn't played it out yet, and then, you know, eventually, you know, he took it on to his own. The timing, on the other hand, it was all Eric, with the weird timing in there. I mean, I don't know if you listen to the song or not, but during the rhythm there, it kind of got that jump, and there was going ba-bam, ba-bam, that's all that weird stuff, that's all him, you know. And then, you know, the electronics, of course, you know, that's all Di, man. I mean, like, I don't, when it comes to stuff like that, I honestly have nothing to do with it. Same thing, you know, same thing with Blindfold. When the album comes out, you're going to hear some synth tracks in the back that make the song sound dark as hell, because that's exactly what we were looking for, especially with the song is. And, you know, Di did all the all this. Anytime you hear synth tracks in the background, that's all him, man. I mean, that's the three of us got nothing to do with that. So once we finally create a song, you know, once again, let me end the rant here. It really comes down to somebody played something, we liked it, let's build off of it, and it's about that simple.
What would each of you like a person to come away with after they've heard Mobius?
What do you think?
Well, what would they come away with after they hear it?
Yeah.
You know what? You go ahead. Go first, man.
You know, honestly, I don't know. There's so much... Like, I don't want to say, like... You know, because we're not that kind of band, like, oh, it's this visual introspection of how we feel, and we're not, like, about that kind of shit. I do write about things that concern myself, and I won't write about anything that I haven't personally experienced, but I guess I try to write it in a way where if somebody did experience any of the positive or negative that are in any of the songs that we have, that, you know, they kind of feel like it's an outlet for them, because with the heavy music, especially later on, like when I got into the Deftones and Korn and everything, a lot of the lyrical content I could associate myself with, because there were things I had experienced or feelings that I was having and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of therapeutic in a way, and I'm kind of hoping that, you know, other people who listen to it can kind of get that same thing out of it. Because when I listen to music, if I'm in a good mood, I'll listen to something that'll keep me in a good mood. If I'm in a shit mood, I'll listen to stuff that'll, you know, keep me in a shit mood, or at least make me feel better about being in that particular mood. So I'm kind of hoping that's what people walk away with Mobius. And if nothing else, they listen to it and they think, oh, that sounds cool, I'm fine with that too. You know, it doesn't have to be this deep, you know, this deep thought, these deep emotions or anything. Just listening to it, I enjoy the song, and I think it's fun. Cool, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, for the most part, I kind of have to agree on that last part there. That's just, I mean, for the most part, if you really sit down and listen to most bands, to my knowledge, most people really don't, you know, really don't understand. Not that they don't understand, they're really not focusing, you know, on what is being said. Then again, maybe I'm speaking out of turn saying that. I mean, like, if you, I would hope that they would at least enjoy what they're hearing. However, if they look a little, if they start listening a little bit deeper into it, hopefully they'll take away that we don't sound like anything in particular. I mean, there's definite influences there, but I defy anybody to say within the last 10 years that, you know, hey, listen, they sound exactly like these guys here. It's just, it's not going to happen. So I would hope that they would actually hear that the music is just, there's just something different about it. You know, the way Di does his vocals, man, you know, there's something, you know, maybe what this guy is talking, maybe what he's talking about, like, this dude, you know, he really means it. It's, I mean, bottom line is 100% of what he says on that album really happened, both literally and well, figuratively speaking. Yes, I mean, it's 100% true. So I would hope that they would take away that, again, that maybe musically, that it's not exactly like everything else that's been coming out in the last couple of years. No disrespect to anybody, but I mean, like, we don't want to sound like anybody in particular. And vocal wise, you know, that's like, this isn't bullshit, man. This isn't, we're not talking about stuff, you know, to make us sound like badasses, or you know, we're trying to sound whiny that, you know, our parents didn't love us, or it's nothing like that. But it's what you're hearing is true. This is all real. So that's what I would hope for.
Visit the band at their official website, www.circledown.com. From their forthcoming CD, Mobius, here is Circle Down once more with Crash. We'll be right back. That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Diode and Canch of Circle Down and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. Visit Circle Down at their official website, www.circledown.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005.